be a secretary's break. The meeting will then go to a show of hands until 9:05 p.m. The last 10 minutes are reserved for those who feel they may drink and haven't had the chance to share. And now, to share her experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Sydney.
Hi, guys. I'm Sydney. I'm an alcoholic. It's really nice to be here. I see so many people I love so much. It's a really good view to have. I've been coming to this meeting for, I think, the whole time I've been sober. I got sober on November 1st, 2011, so I just had about 2.5 years. And, man, so many times I've, like, sat in the meeting and I've been like, when am I going to get asked to speak here? And, of course, it didn't happen until last week when I had a complete meltdown and, like, took the first burning desire I've ever taken. And then the person who picks the speakers was like, hey, do you want to speak next week? And I was just like, I couldn't, like, breathe. I was crying so profusely. And I was just like, are you serious? Like, this is what it takes. But whatever. I mean, I don't know. I'm just really grateful to be here, and I'm really grateful to be sober, and I'm really grateful to have a reference for what felt like a really difficult time last week. Like, it feels like a lifetime ago, and it was just a few days ago, you know? Like, last Thursday, I just felt so much fear and anxiety, and, you know, my alcoholism was just, like, running it. It was just, like, beating me up, just, like, I was in the tunnel vision of just, like, you know, I need to get this thing, and if I don't get this thing, I'm not going to be okay, and everything's wrong, you know, and I was just obsessed, and I was really, like, not taking care of myself. A lot of different things kind of, like, you know, all happened to, I don't know, who knows? It was just really hard. Like, I went through a really hard time, and I kind of wanted to, like, act out, you know, but I did what I knew how to do, which was, like, come here, and no matter how weird I looked or how weird I sounded, I just, like, knew to be honest, and I tried to just not care about sounding good, you know, like, my ego is so dangerous, and, you know, right now before speaking, I just prayed to, like, have my ego removed and not care about, like, being funny or cool or whatever, like, it's not about that, you know, like, I came here because I was dying, like, I was dying inside, I was, like, dying physically, I couldn't stop drinking, and I was running my life into the ground. You know, like, I was a different person 3 years ago. I can't even, like, I get emotional just thinking about it, like, looking at all you guys from up here, because I'm just, like, I just can't believe it. I really cannot believe, like, what this program has done for me and how my life is completely transformed. And I see it happen for other people. It's, like, miracles every day, all the time. You know, it's nuts. So I'll just start from the beginning. I started drinking when I was 14. Prior to that, I mean, I think I had a lot of symptoms of alcoholism before I even picked up a drink. You know, I remember just, like, being very young and feeling, like, super uncomfortable in my body, like, almost like I just couldn't really breathe. Like, I now have a vocabulary to describe, you know, self-centeredness. Like, I was just so aware of, like, I just thought everyone was looking at me all the time and, like, dissecting, like, my clothes, dissecting how I look, just, like, it was so weird. Like, I remember being at school, and as long as I was around other people and interacting with people, I would be okay. Like, I could kind of, like, turn on, like, whoever you wanted me to be. I could, like, be that character and, like, get attention and be just, like, I could kind of be distracted, you know, by that attention. And then as soon as I would have to, like, go on the bus by myself, I would just, like, tense up, and I would be this other person who was just so anxious. I just remember, like, even having this internal dialogue of, like, what's wrong with you? Like, loosen up, breathe. Like, you look, and just being so hyper aware of, like, my face just being, like, so anxiety ridden, you know? So I don't know. I don't know. That's, like, what I was like before I picked up. I went to a party, like, my freshman year of high school, I went to this house party, and I kind of just knew before I even, you know, I just knew I was going to be, like, amazing at drinking, and it was going to be, and I was going to be so good at it, and it was going to be, like, so much fun, you know? I just knew. I don't know if it was from the movies or, like, whatever. I just knew that that was, like, who I was going to be. That was my identity before I even, like, did it, you know? And, I mean, I share this all the time, but it's just, like, this is, like, where I wanted to live forever. Like, at that house party, like, and that was, like, a big part of my high school, like, drinking and using, and alcoholism, really, you know, because, like, I just drank to black out from day one. But, like, it always started with this fantasy of, like, I'm like kind of buzzed, and I'm like walking into the house party, and it's in slow-mo, and the music's super loud, and I'm just like I'm bringing the alcohol, and people like, I walk in the door, and people are like pointing at me, and they're like, hey, hey, and I'm just like, hey, hey, like, oh, it was just like, that was like heaven for me, you know, like, I know you know what I mean. Like, it's just, like, that's where I felt like I belonged, and that was, like, gonna be my life forever. And I was just chasing that. I always chased that. And the night was always a mess. Like, that never happened. That happened for, like, 1 second. Like, not even. I would always be, like, man, I just chased that delusion for so long. Literally for so long. Yeah. And so how do I know I'm an alcoholic, you know? I think I knew, like, from early on that I didn't drink like normal people, because I, from very early on, like, 16, 17, like, people were not blacking out and, like, falling down, talking back to police, like, having really bizarre ideas to, like, break into abandoned schools and, like, hang out and just, like, be, like, really bizarre, you know? Like, I was always drinking different than other people, and I always wanted more, and I was always, like, willing to break laws and rules to, like, do it, you know? And I kind of always had this double life thing going on of, like, as long as I'm really good at school and I have a job, then I can do whatever I want and I'm allowed to have fun. In fact, I deserve to have so much fun because I just work so hard and I need a break. Even when I was, like, 16, like, my life was not hard, you know? It's like, but in my mind, it was so hard. Everything was so hard. I felt like I was this, like, oppressed person who was just, like, it was so hard to exist and, like, I don't know, I felt like I was so entitled to, like, just letting loose. Like, really, I remember telling people that, like, I just have so much responsibility. Like, I just love partying because I can just be free. And, like, I really, really, like, I believe that. And, you know, I'm an alcoholic because I learned when I came in here, when I read the doctor's opinion with my sponsor, I got this, like, vocabulary to understand this thing I've always had that I never really, like, fully understood, but kind of understood, I think. Like, I identified with the craving of, like, oh, yeah, like, whenever I drank, I always wanted more. I could never really control when I stopped. There were so many times, even, like, very young, early on, where I would, like, promise people that, like, that would never happen again. I would never do that again. I would never black out and swear at you in front of all of our friends again. I would never, you know, like, just be an embarrassment. I just have so many early memories of being really embarrassing and, like, really putting my friends through hell and, like, having to babysit me. And, like, you know, things like just dropping me off at home after a party and, like, you know, thinking that the bus stop was my house and passing out in a bus stop and then having my friends, like, have to, like, drop me off in my house and my parents waking up and seeing that I was so inebriated and, like, I don't know why they didn't call the hospital, you know, honestly, but my waking up and my mom was on the floor of my room. And I remember waking up after, like, a really bad night and she was on the floor of my room sleeping and I was just, like, really irritated, like, what are you doing in my room? Like, God, this is my room. And she's like, well, you know, you're so drunk last night that I slept here because I was afraid you were going to choke on your vomit and die. And just, like, really not listening, not hearing that reality. This is, like, when I was 17. So around that time, I went to my first AA meeting. I had one friend who was sober. I had friends, best friends who I'd grown up with who were telling me, like, I can't really be around you anymore. You know, it's too painful to watch you. I would just be I'm the type of drunk that, like, I fall down. Like, I want to drink to lose all control of my motor, like, just to, like, lose it. You know what I mean? Just, like, lose total control. I just wanted oblivion. And drugs are, like, definitely part of that, too. But everything always started and ended with alcohol, no matter what. Yeah, so I went to a meeting, and I remember feeling, like, really emotional and kind of like, well, maybe some of my relatives or, you know, family need to be here, but I don't think, like, these people are talking about losing stuff I don't even have yet, and I just saw all old people, you know, maybe, I don't know if that's true or not, like, that's just what I saw, I didn't hear anything, and I, you know, thought, how am I going to go to college, like, I can't, this is my identity, drinking is my identity, you know, I was willing to, like, let go of some of the closest relationships in my life, because I couldn't say goodbye to alcohol. I just couldn't. So, yeah, I mean, just, like, speeding up, I went to college. And this is a very progressive disease. You know, it was really progressive in my case. I only drank for 10 years, you know, and just more of the same, like more physical consequences, more, you know, getting arrested, getting taken to the hospital, and never really like choosing to see the reality of what was really going on. It was always someone else's fault, you know, like the cops were just so bored. They were so bored. They had to like, they were looking for me, you know, like they were just so bored. They had nothing else better to do than to arrest me. And I was just trying to go to a concert, you know, it's like, but the true story is that I was like so drunk trying to get into a concert, falling down, probably like about to walk into traffic at any minute, you know, like could have gotten hit by a car, that the place I was trying to get into wouldn't let me in, which is like a common story, has happened hundreds of times. Because I just think I'm in such denial, like, why would you not let me in? Like, hello. And I would just be like a total mess, you know, total mess. Underage also, like 18. And just totally drunk, getting in a fight with like the doorman, usually like a giant man, you know, trying to like fight someone and like really not getting it, like not understanding what the problem is and getting arrested and then being like, still don't understand what the problem is. And, you know, thank God I look back and I just look at those moments as like saving grace. Cause like, thank God I wasn't out on the street walking into traffic or like going home with a random person or whatever. So that was just college. Like, that was when I was 18 and I, you know, falling out of, like, loft beds, rolling onto the ground, onto, like, desk corners, like, have a, you know, scar on my eyebrow, kind of knocked my eye out. Just, like, crazy stuff. Really getting hurt a lot, you know? Not caring about my health, having no regard for my life ever. Not really caring about the people I was, like, spending time with. Really tried to find people that, like, to drink like I did and who were worse so I could always be, like, they're really, like, these people are, I'm worried about them. And just, like, you know, and, like, having parties at my house so I could just pass out there and, like, passing out on different floors and thinking I was, like, in my bedroom and waking up and being, like, you know, not there and just like, crazy. Using more drugs to help me stay awake and to kind of, like, drink more efficiently. And, yeah, so, you know, I also lived in Brazil briefly. I don't know how I didn't die there, just, like, going with random strangers. That's, like, a big part of my thing. You know, I would, like, get tired of the people I was with, like, all the time because I'd just be like, there's something better going on. I have to find it. And I would just, like, leave with strangers to, like, so dangerous, like, in Brazil, you know? And so I'll just fast track. I moved to New York about 4 years ago. Man, and I just, like, really believe in hindsight I had to move here to, like, hit the bottom that I needed to hit to get sober. Because, I don't know, I just really believe that. I moved here, and for the first time, I didn't have someone, like, babysitting me, basically. And I was kind of forced to, like, it was just really bad, you know? I was, to give you an idea of, like, what was going on, I was under so much financial stress. Like, I moved here without a job. And I just thought, you know, like, this is my dream. I had all these ambitions. I think, like, the real me, like, had this, like, I'm this ambitious, like, positive person. I really always wanted to help people. I could just never show up for anything. I could never show up for the stuff I signed up for, you know what I mean? I could never show up for, like, the nonprofit in college, all the volunteering stuff I tried to do. It was, like, my alcoholism always beat that stuff out. I could just never do it. I was too hungover, like, just crazy. And I moved to New York with, like, those kinds of ambitions, and I could just never do it. And, like, progressive disease, you know, it got me to, like, the point where I was having panic attacks, hallucinations on the street, you know, from mixing drugs and drinking and not sleeping and really thinking that, like, having panic attacks, like, after going to the gym and, like, something random, like a call from my roommate would just trigger me into a panic attack, like, what is the meaning of my life? I'm going to die. And, like, freaking out on the street crying. And I had nobody in my life. I had no real relationships I could be, like, authentic or honest. I just had no one I could be real with, you know. And I didn't know anything different. I was always used to, like, being the person I thought you wanted me to be so that I could, like, get love, you know. I never knew how to be, like, a real... I just didn't know any other way. That was all I knew how to do. And, you know, I would call my poor parents in California and just be like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm crazy. Like, I'm really depressed. They recommended I see a therapist. I should also say, like, at the same time, I was doing really dangerous things in addition to having a full-time job to, like, make money to survive. I thought I needed to, like, do all this stuff to, like, survive. Like, my whole obsession was, like, if If I can just pay off this amount of my student loans, then I will be free to figure out what it is that will make me happy, or like whatever. It was crazy. I would make like spreadsheets all like cracked out, and I would just like, I really was like trying to be an accountant to like figure out what I needed to do in addition to having a full-time job, like, and you know, to just not go too much into detail. I would do things like tell my roommate, you know, I'm going to Connecticut on a train. If I don't come home by 5 p.m. tomorrow night, call the police, like many times. And I just thought that was normal. Like, I just had to do what I had to do to take care of myself. Like, those are my ideas for, like, taking care of myself, you know? So I saw this therapist because I thought I was, like, manic, depressive, like, bipolar or something. I'm like, cool, I can just get medicine. I'll be fine. I can, like, keep doing what I'm doing. I had like a God moment where I told this woman the truth. I told her about everything I had been doing. You know, I told her everything. I told her about the, like, to keep a long story short, the Connecticut trips and like, and all this other stuff I was doing, and just, it was so unmanageable. To give you an idea, like, I had a full-time job. I had to be there at 8:30 a.m. and I would work till 4 a.m. high, drunk, and go to work at 8:30. For 5 months I did this. It was part of my bottom. Told this woman what was going, and I'm like hallucinating on the street and wondering why, you know? And I told this woman, and she looked at me like, just that look of like, how are you alive? And I saw her, you know what I mean? Like, I really saw something there. I was like, oh my God, I have like a serious, something's really wrong with what I'm doing. But that wasn't enough. Like, my last drink was, like, super anticlimactic. I just woke up in a place, compared to everything else, compared to, like, waking up in the hospital in restraints, waking up in jail, waking, whatever, you name it. I just woke up, and I didn't know where I was or who I was with or how I had gotten there. And I was really hungover, and I had to go meet a friend and her niece to talk about colleges because I was, like, a role model, right? But it's crazy. I was. But I had this internal, like, battle of just, like, this is not the real me. Like, I'm just a faker. I'm a faker. Like, I want to be this person, and I'm just not. And I didn't know it, but that was, you know, that would be my last drink on October 31st, 2011. And, I went to an AA meeting like 3 days after that, and it was ninjas. I remember looking it up at the NICEPAW website. I don't even know how I like knew to look that up. My parents had also been sending me AA meetings for like 6 months, but I was just casually ignoring them, like, no, not right now. And I just went in, and I was so scared of you guys. I saw all these people smoking outside, and I was like, oh my God, this is it. I'm gonna do this. And some guy outside, like, totally caught me. I looked probably, like, the most stereotypical newcomer ever. And I just was, like, trying to act really cool, but, like, not interact with anyone, like, alone. And someone was like, are you here for the AA meeting? And I was like, shh, too loud. Like, don't say that. And he introduced me to my sponsor, and I just lost it in that meeting. I, like, really had surrendered and let go, and I just cried the whole time, and I don't know. I just believed you guys. I had the gift of desperation. I really didn't want to, like, die. I really didn't know what was going on. I just knew that what I was doing wasn't working anymore. It really wasn't working anymore. And I gave up. And I realized that's a gift. I didn't once have, like, a doubt. Like, maybe there's another way to do this. You know, like, maybe I don't know. I just listened. I met the girl. I met her for, like, another meeting at Young and Wise. Cried the whole time. I, like, cried the whole, like, first couple of months I was here. I still cry all the time because I just can't. It's, like, too much. It's, like, all the emotion I never let myself feel my whole life just, like, comes out randomly. And, you know, she took me through the steps. I had a psychic change. It was spiritual awakenings doing the steps. I found a higher power, which I thought was really weird at first. But I just did it anyway, and I just got used to it. And I saw in my first step, like, hell yeah, there's a God in my life. I should be dead. Like, what? All this stuff I did? Of course there's somebody looking out for me, like, the whole time. Always. I just never chose to, like, recognize it. Just fast track, like, I don't know. I don't know why I've had the experience I've had, but it's just changed my life, and I don't want to... I don't, like, have any regrets for anything I've done. I have no shame about the things that I've gone through. I've seen how my experience can benefit others in, like, really creepy, unique ways where I'm just like, how the hell is that random thing I did helping somebody right now? But it never ceases to amaze me. Like, we're all uniquely qualified to, like, help so many people. And I don't ever have to feel shame about any of the stuff I've done, you know? I can have, like, compassion for myself and forgive myself because I was just so sick. I didn't know any other way to live. And this program has taught me how to live, and it's like a daily thing. You know, it's a daily reprieve. I have to, like, do a lot of work. Like, last Thursday was really hard, but I did what I know how to do, and I, like, thank you, Ellie. I, like, did what I know how to do and, like, came here, and people just surrounded me with love, you know? And like, my mind is such that, like, I can be surrounded by, like, a group of friends that I know love me, and I can still be like, yeah, right, this is fake. Like, not really. You don't really love me. And it's crazy. Like, that's just my mind, you know? And I learned about, like, alcoholism here. Like, I learned that, like, I have a three-part disease. I have an allergy to alcohol that normal people, even, like, hard drinkers, don't have, where, like, when I drink, something goes off in my body that, like, I just want to drink more. You know, other people don't have that. I have a mental obsession where, like, I obsess about it. Like, I just want to, someday, maybe I can drink like a normal person. Normal people don't sit around thinking about that. It's like they don't get into trouble from drinking, you know? And I have a spiritual malady, which is really what I deal with on a daily basis, of just, like, this, I just have this, like, thing inside of me. I think I've had it my whole life before I even started drinking. And this is just my experience. You know, you don't have to relate exactly to this. If you have the allergy to alcohol and you have the mental obsession of, like, maybe I'll be normal someday, like, you qualify to be here, you know? But how I understand my spiritual malady is just, like, I'll fill it with anything I think I can to just, like, be okay. I'm so afraid all the time of, like, where am I going to be? Where do I fit in? How do people see me? How should I, like, how am I supposed to be? I just, like, don't know. I feel like I just have never known. I'm finding that out in sobriety. You know, like, who I really am, what I like to do, like, what real relationships are, what being a real friend means, you know, what being a real daughter and sister means, and just how to be a considerate person and not just think about myself all the time, and how good it feels to, like, not think about myself. Like, I never knew that was, like, an option before, you know? Like, service has changed my life. I got into service very early on. My first sponsor was like, you should go to NYCPA and get involved. And I was just like, hell yeah. Like, I was so into it, you know? Just like that girl who's, like, in the party. Like, I just, like, I think that's really, like, part of what I love, though. Like, I love bringing people together to have fun and to do it without drugs and alcohol, which I thought before was impossible. Like, wow, what a gift, you know? Like, I have a spiritual experience every time I'm at a dance watching people have fun, especially, like, newcomers, you know, who are just like, you guys party on a boat with 500 people, and everyone looks, like, totally out of their mind, but they're sober. Like, that just changes my life, you know? Like, that's amazing. I feel like anything is possible. Like, that's what this program has. I'm going to cry. Oh, my God. Oh. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I just feel like this is where I belong, and I never want to forget that, no matter what. And it can get very scary sometimes, you know, when I try to, like, take things back into my own hands and forget that, like, God has a, like, totally rad, magical plan for me, and I don't have to know what it is. And in fact, it's, like, a relief that I don't have to know. And I can just, like, show up and keep it one day at a time. Like, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. It's, like, such a relief, you know, when I'm really in that. And it's, like, such a beautiful way of life. Like, it's crazy. I feel like so many miracles happened even today. Like, I'm, like, I don't have a job right now. I have to move. All this stuff is in flux. It's really stressful. But right now I feel like I have so much faith. Like, I'm going to look back on my life in a couple of months and be like, man, that was wild, but, like, look at all the cool stuff happening right now. Like, I applied to, like, a house listing on Craigslist or whatever, like, a ton of them. Someone emailed me back today and was like, hey, what's up? It's Sandra from AG, like, another group or whatever. I was like, what the hell? Like, God is totally on my team right now. You know what I mean? Just, like, here's a sober person, awesome apartment, like, go check it out. I don't know, just, that was, like, a little miracle of just today, you know, where I was like, that's how I know God's in my life. Like, that's all I know. Seeing, like, sober people all over New York City on the train in, like, really stressful situations is just, like, that's God. Like, what's up? You know, I need a reminder. I need, like, a reminder of, like, I'm not alone. I'm never alone. You know, I have a disease that just wants me to believe so bad that I'm alone and nothing matters and I should just die and kill myself because it's too hard. You know, and it's like, I'm not alone. I have so many friends, and I have, like, more than that, a real purpose of, like, having gone through everything I went through to help other people. And to, like, man, life is amazing. It's so cool, you guys. Like, I can't even tell you. I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.